What if the password manager you and 30 million others trusted most was never private to begin with? What if the same people funding spyware used on journalists also controlled the company storing your vault? And what if the breach they said was contained turned out to be one of the most catastrophic failures in cybersecurity history? In this video, I'm going to walk you through the hidden architecture flaws, the silent cover-up, and the financial connections that no one else has uncovered. This story changes how we think about encryption, password managers, and trust itself. Before we dig in, I put together a short migration guide, the same one I used to rebuild vaults after breaches like this. It's linked below. What really happened in the breach that shattered trust? It started with a press release. No urgency or red flags, just a line buried in corporate blog speak. A contained incident. No customer data was accessed. That was August 2022. But behind the scenes, something much bigger was happening. An attacker had breached LastPass, and by December, they were back. Only this time, they had root access. And it wasn't because of some elite zero-day or nation-state exploit. It was something way dumber. A single DevOps engineer's personal home computer. He didn't have any hardened operating system or YubiKey, just outdated software with no patches and application-based multi-factor authentication. The attacker dropped a keylogger, stole the master password, hijacked session tokens, and walked in completely undetected. And that one endpoint was the entire blast radius. The engineer had direct access to everything. Internal vaults, AWS keys, customer vault backups. There was no segmentation, meaning once you were in everything. No monitoring software to catch it, and no zero trust architecture. They inherited all of its privileges. And once those encrypted backups were exfiltrated, the rules changed. These vaults could now be brute forced offline, meaning they could try cracking passwords endlessly without ever being noticed or blocked for months or even years, without any logs or alerts or defenses. By late 2023, forensic analysts had traced over $35 million in stolen crypto back to cracked LastPass vaults. That is verified using blockchain forensics. And who got hit? It was DeFi founders, security pros, high trust users doing everything right, except trusting a system built to fail. This was a systems failure wrapped in a PR band-aid, which raises a bigger question. Who was actually behind the company that was supposed to protect your vault? Why were the people funding LastPass also backing spyware? Let's rewind. In 2021, LastPass was spun out under GoTo Holdings, majority owned by a private equity firm called Francisco Partners. And if that name sounds familiar, here's why. They also funded NSO Group. Yeah, the same NSO behind Pegasus software. That's the military-grade spyware used to track journalists, dissidents, and government. It's so dangerous that Apple literally had to build alerts into iOS to warn people when they'd been targeted. So now connect the dots. The same investors who backed a global surveillance weapon were also in control of the password manager holding the master keys to your whole digital life. Over 33 million users, from founders to developers and entire companies, were storing crypto wallets, admin passwords, personal vaults, recovery codes, inside an app funded by a group that literally monetized surveillance. And yeah, the shift in priorities showed. Security became a checkbox. Encryption audits were cut. Multi-factor authentication, those extra login steps, weren't even required for all employees. Engineering took a backseat to dashboard polish and growth metrics. Inside LastPass, the mood shifted from protect everything to optimize and monetize everything. The board wasn't asking how to defend against advanced threat actors. They were asking how to extract more money. So what did they end up with? A surface-level product that looked secure, but had no locks on the back end. And that leads to the next puzzle piece. If they were promising zero knowledge, how was so much of your private data still exposed? What did zero knowledge really mean, and why was it a lie? They stamped it everywhere. Homepage banners, investor decks, and customer emails. Zero knowledge. It was supposed to mean, we can't see your data, even if we wanted to. But that wasn't the reality. Not even close. Behind the scenes, they were cutting corners. A lot of them. LastPass skipped encrypting parts of your vault, a decision that actually required extra engineering effort to build around full encryption. We're talking URLs, folder names, note titles were all visible, which means your metadata, or the breadcrumb trail of your online life, was left exposed. Every time you logged in, your device sent LastPass unencrypted information, including the websites you visited and details about your phone or computer. So no, they couldn't see your actual passwords, but they could see where you logged in, when you did it, and what device you used. Zero knowledge? Not even in spirit. Then there were the secure notes, except they weren't. Titles like Ledger Backup and 2FA codes were left in plain text metadata, basically a highlight reel for attackers. And the encryption itself, they were still using PBKDF2, an outdated password protection method from 2008. For perspective, the modern security standard is around 300,000 iterations. Some of these vaults had fewer than 5,000. That's weak enough that a single gaming PC could brute force them in just a few hours. Some had just one iteration. And if that wasn't enough, the mobile app had 7 different marketing trackers, the same kind you'd find in free ad-supported apps, quietly collecting data behind the scenes. Some of them were extremely granular, all while they told you, "We can't see anything." They didn't build a zero-knowledge vault. They built a marketing funnel and slapped the word privacy on it. So if this was how they handled encryption, what do you think the infrastructure underneath it all looked like? This is why I stopped trusting cloud vaults. My rebuild guide walks you through what to use instead. What kind of system design leaves the vault door wide open? This wasn't some elite attacker using a zero-day to slip through a crack in the armor. This was a slow-motion car crash, and it had been building for years. Inside LastPass, there were almost no internal barriers. Once someone got in, they could move between systems freely. That's customer vaults, internal admin vaults, DevOps infrastructure. Everything ran inside the same cloud setup, linked by shared logins, which meant if one device got hacked, the attacker could reach everything else. And that's exactly what happened. Once the attacker got into the DevOps engineer's personal machine, they weren't just inside the network. They had the keys to every hallway. That's vault backups, AWS credentials, admin tools, all reachable. There were no alerts or monitoring tools to catch when the vault backups were copied and stolen. And those backups were still using old encryption settings that hadn't been updated in years. LastPass could have required users to re-encrypt, but they didn't. They could have warned people with dangerously low iteration counts. They didn't. Why not? Compatibility, smooth upgrades, fewer support tickets. Who knows? Translation, they prioritize convenience and money over resilience every time. And the trade-offs didn't stop there. Autofill was left on by default, even on websites that weren't secure, which is an easy target for attackers. Browser extensions with full clipboard and DOM access. No key rotation. And secure notes leaking metadata in plain text. And none of this was accidental. These weren't mistakes. They were deliberate product decisions, ones that made the app feel smoother but left the vault far more exposed. What they built was a vault-shaped illusion. And when it finally broke, they didn't fix it. They spun it. So the obvious question is, once the alarm started going off, why didn't they come clean? When the breach hit, why did LastPass go silent? They knew it was bad. They just hoped you wouldn't find out how bad. By the time the vault backups were stolen, LastPass had 2 options. One, warn users early, risk panic, and take the reputational hit. Or 2, downplay everything, buy time, and hope that the truth stayed buried. They chose option 2. On August 25th, 2022, they called it a contained incident. They said no customer data was accessed, told users not to worry. But internally, they already knew that wasn't true. Then on November 30th, a quiet blog post with vague language saying unusual activity, but still no urgency. And finally, December 22nd, right before the holidays, they dropped the real story when no one was paying attention. Encrypted customer vaults had been stolen. That means the hackers walked away with full copies of people's password vaults, or the files that stored all their logins, secrets, and even recovery codes. But hey, don't panic. They're still encrypted. But here's what they left out. Some vaults had garbage-level encryption, using outdated settings that could be cracked in hours. Internal logs had already confirmed the backups had been exfiltrated. Their zero-knowledge promise was barely holding together, and they didn't force password resets or rotate keys. Rotating keys is like changing the locks after a break-in, but they didn't do it. They didn't notify the most vulnerable users, and they sure didn't bring in a third-party auditor to verify anything. Instead, they buried the details in FAQ pages. messages. They timed their updates for weekends and holidays and handed support staff canned responses to downplay the breach. This was not incident response, it was narrative control. Instead of protecting users, they focused on covering everything up. And when you're owned by a private equity firm, the breach is just one kind of risk. The bigger risk is bad press before an IPO or exit. So they delayed and dodged and hoped no one would connect the dots. And honestly, it almost worked until the wallets started getting drained, until investigators started linking stolen crypto back to those leaked password vaults, until experts started calling them out with receipts in hand. But what did the real fallout look like? Let's talk about what actually happened once the vaults started getting cracked. How did a security tool become the weakest link in the chain? By the end of 2023, more than 35 million in stolen crypto had been directly linked to cracked LastPass vaults. That's confirmed blockchain forensics. And honestly, that's probably a low estimate. Once the backups were out in the wild, the attackers didn't need anything else. They didn't need more access or stealth. They just ran brute force attacks offline with no logs, alerts, or deadline. And they didn't waste time on someone's Netflix logins. They went straight for the heavy stuff, like DeFi developers, DAO multi-sig holders, red teamers, and OGs with old weak vaults from back when PBK DF2 iteration counts were basically non-existent. Some vaults were cracked in hours, but others took days, maybe weeks. But either way, the result was the same. Once cracked, the hackers just opened the vaults like they owned them. It was a clean, silent theft with no trace. And here's the worst part. A lot of these people did everything right. They followed best practices, they took security seriously, but the system they trusted, that was the weakest link. The fallout was massive. Security professionals started dumping LastPass publicly. Reddit blew up, Twitter exploded. Even longtime users were asking, how the hell did this happen? And here's the uncomfortable truth. LastPass wasn't even the exception. Most password managers still use centralized cloud vaults. That means your encrypted data lives on their servers, and if those servers get breached, everyone's vaults are at risk. Many rely on outdated cryptography, and a lot of them are shipping with hidden tracking tools that quietly collect how you use the app, when, and from where. Why? Because that's what scales. That's how you grow a product. You track, optimize, and focus on user experience, and security becomes a marketing term and a cost center, not a design principle. That's what made the LastPass breach so damning. It didn't just expose one company's failure, although their failure was exceptionally higher than anyone I've ever seen in the entire industry, but it showed how shaky the entire category has become. So now we have to ask, if the tools that are supposed to protect us can't even protect themselves, what can? What does real security look like, and how do you get there from here? If you ever use LastPass, start with one assumption. Hackers already have a copy of everything you ever stored there. Not might be, or someday, right now. Those stolen backups have been sitting in attacker hands for months or years. If your vault was protected with weak settings, and many were, they've had plenty of time to brute force it offline. They're going after the logins that lead to money and access. So like crypto wallets, admin panels, cloud routes, recovery email accounts. But here's what to do immediately. Change every password you ever saved in LastPass. Start with email. It's the master key to everything else. Then update your cloud platforms, banking logins, and recovery phrases. And anything crypto related, just pull it offline. Put it in cold storage, encrypted USB, hardware wallets, whatever you've got. Just don't leave it in a vault that's already been looted. And that's triage. Now let's talk about what comes next. Because the next tool you trust can't just be secure enough. It needs to be verifiable. That means no silent analytics, no tracking, no trust us black boxes. Here's where to start rebuilding. Bitwarden, which is self-hosted. You run it yourself. It's open source, has strong encryption, Argon 2 ID, and regular audits, so you're not trusting anyone else's server. KeePass XC. It's no cloud, zero telemetry, simple, effective, and everything stays local. Everything stays on your computer and nothing syncs to the cloud. 1Password, which is cloud-based, but it uses stronger encryption settings and a unique secret key only you can access, plus regular independent audits. NordPass, which uses modern cryptography like Argon 2 and XChaCha 20 and publishes detailed white papers. Are any of these perfect? No. but they treat encryption like engineering, not PR. Zoom out a little bit. It was a warning. It showed what happens when convenience gets mistaken for security. And it made one thing very clear. Free password managers always come with a cost. Whether it's your data, your behavior, or your peace of mind, someone's paying. From here on out, the baseline needs to change. No unencrypted metadata, no free platforms banking on your data, no hidden trackers quietly recording how you use the app, public audits, local first key ownership, and when in doubt, open source over closed. If the code is public, experts can check it for backdoors or weak points. If it's closed, you're stuck trusting the marketing. We can't keep assuming these platforms have our backs. Trust has to be earned and proven. Because here's the truth no one wants to say out loud. Until encryption is provable, every so-called secure vault is just a shiny honeypot sitting there waiting to be breached. So the next time a password manager tells you, "We can't see your data," don't just believe it. You need better defaults and sharper questions. And if no one's building the vault you deserve, you already know what to do. The guide's below. Be sure to subscribe to the channel for more deep dives just like this.